Welcome back. Lofted to the back of the end zone. No struggles today. A second touchdown. This one to Robinson. And that is Allen Robinson's first touchdown as a Chicago Bear.
Third down. First quarter winding down. Trubisky. Robinson. Allen Robinson. Touchdown Bears.
From the 22-yard line now. Trubisky stepping up.
Fires down the sideline. Robinson makes the catch.
Pulls to the end zone. He's got a man. And caught for the touchdown, Robinson.
Well, it's man coverage. This time Marshawn Lattimore is on Allen Robinson. A really good route at the top. He sticks it to the post. Yeah, I saw that in real time. It looked like, did he have it? And that's a nice job.
Allen Robinson left a real nice legacy in Chicago. Simply put, one of the best wide receivers in Bears history. A couple thousand-yard seasons while he was here. As we welcome you back into the Rahimi and Harris Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I am Mark Grody, filling in for Layla Rahimi today. And it is a pleasure to be joined by A-Rob, Allen Robinson, who did play with the Bears from 2018 to 2021. Had great chemistry with Mitch Trubisky. He is also the host of the Press Release Podcast. So he's out here podcasting as well. And maybe selfishly, most importantly to me, he was a winner of the Media Good Guy Award for dealing with us, the Bears media, in a very cordial and complimenting way. Allen Robinson joins us right now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Allen Robinson, what's going on, man? It's a pleasure to have you on The Score.
How you doing, man? It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Yeah, no, we, Marshall and I, have been pumped up to talk to you. I do want to talk a little bit about you right now. I mean, you've had a long, great NFL career, over a decade now, 11 years. You were with Detroit last year. What's cooking, man? What are you up to now? Are you still thinking about, are you still wanting to get out there and hook up with an NFL team?
Definitely. You know, that's always a possibility for myself. You know, again, I'm in phenomenal shape. Again, so, you know, if the right opportunity presents itself, you know, then I'll be all for it. But at the same time, you know, again, based on what I've done in my career, the places that I've been, you know, I feel good about where everything is at, you know. So, again, if the right opportunity presents itself, you know, I'll be ready. But, you know, ultimately, you know, doing some media stuff, you know, I have a Press Release Podcast. Go follow us on Instagram and on YouTube. So me and Prince Amukamara, actually, he spent some time in Chicago as well. You know, so we have a podcast going and we're excited to start up as week one approaches, you know, to be able to talk some funny locker room stories and just to kind of talk about, you know, week to week, what it's like in the landscape of the NFL.
That's awesome, man. As it just so happens, Allen, tomorrow, Dan Weeder and I, we host the Take the North podcast, which we loved having you on recently. Prince Amukamara going to be on the show tomorrow, man.
Oh, okay, so you got both sides of the podcast.
That's awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, we got the dueling. Did you go up against, I don't remember, did you go up against him in practice or did Kyle Fuller have your attention during those practices back in the day?
Both. Kyle, yeah. And Prince. You know, Prince was a press guy, so I always like to get a lot of work against him. You know, me and Prince also played with each other in Jacksonville as well. You know, so we had a lot of experience of each other for the time in Jacksonville. So once I got to Chicago, you know, he was a familiar face, you know, so we definitely got some one-on-one reps during training camp as well.
Okay, so Allen, because this is a podcast that you guys are doing, you and Prince, and you're going to have some behind-the-scenes stories, giving us some insight, I want, for our audience, your best Ben Johnson locker room story that you can share with us, because I really think people want to get some insight into their new head coach.
Man, Ben, now, funny locker room stories, I don't know about any funny, man. Ben is a pretty serious, locked-in dude, you know, and he's like that constantly. You know, Ben, every blue moon, you know, been a crack one of those kind of evil smiles, if you will, you know, but kind of the best experience that I have and that I can remember, and we kind of saw a little bit in preseason, is, you know, when you see guys rolling and when Ben Johnson's teams, for us, it was the offense playing well. When you see Ben Johnson flexing on the sideline, you know, it's a good Sunday. You know, for us, I specifically remember Seattle Seahawks game. I think they brought a blitz zero and we had some sort of a deep cross concept called and we scored. It was like a 70-yard touchdown to Jamison Williamson. And, you know, Ben was flexing hard, man. And that was pretty early in the season. So I was not, you know, I had just kind of got to Chicago, and seeing that energy from Ben on the sideline as a coordinator to see how serious he took those chess matches versus defensive coordinators, man, it was phenomenal and truly awesome to see, man, to have a coach who's that locked in, you know, very similar to a player. You know, you see a player get a first down, get a touchdown, they do their celebrations. You know, when Ben Johnson's dialing up, you know, some blitz zero beaters and some beaters on third down, man, he gets pretty turned up, and it's pretty exciting to see as a player.
Okay, I love that you said that, because here's what we've been getting from the Bears players, Alan, this sense that they don't almost know what to make of Ben Johnson because he is so serious. So he doesn't really crack the jokes, and he is serious, as you're describing. Is he scary? Because they're making him sound kind of scary.
Listen, man, Ben is one of those guys, you know, he's kind of like Dr. Jekyll's a little bit, you know. You know, he has that kind of mad scientist feel to him. But I'll say this, you know, for those guys, and you can kind of see and hear in the media as well, man, as those guys are, you know, I don't even want to say coming around to Ben, but as they continue to learn and understand Ben, man, you have such a great appreciation with, you know, because he pushes the guys extremely hard, man. But, you know, many different instances last season, what I see him, you know, love up the players, you know, if it's, you know, something that may not go right, or, you know, him having to, you know, stay after to talk to guys, you know, Ben also has that ability and has that connection for his players, you know, because when you get into a meeting after game day, just as much as I saw Ben tell us that we have to play better as a group, I've also saw Ben after the Tampa Bay game last year in Detroit, you know, Ben said that he didn't feel like he had a big enough plan for us going into the red zone in Tampa game. And he said, you know, he told us as players, you know, I'll take full accountability for that, and that will never happen again. You know, so when you have a coach who not only holds his players to such a high standard, but also himself to such a high standard as a player, man, you can't do anything except respected to the ultimate, you know, amount, just as far as, you know, him as a coach. You know, he's a much respected coach.
Let me ask you this. We're talking to former Bears wide receiver Allen Robinson. He is the host of the Press Release podcast. Go seek it out. Give it a listen. He does it with Prince Abukamara, both part of what was really just a great 2018 season until it wasn't a great 2018 season. And we might get a little bit nostalgic on that here in just a little bit. Or we could do it right now if you'd like.
Sounds like, listen, you want to do it right now.
Even when you say that, you know, whenever I hear a 2018, I literally hear of two thuds.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry, man.
Listen.
Good job, Gertie.
It's so funny. Whenever I hear that sound of a kick hitting the upright, for whatever reason, I think of that game in particular, because it was just, the stadium was almost silent. Obviously, it's the last play of the game. You know, it's a game-winning moment, so the stadium is silent. And when you hear a cold football hit the crossbar, you know, it's such a loud sound.
It's like almost, boing, boing, boing.
Yeah. Literally. Granted, it's not as loud as lightning, but it has the same weight in it, you know, as far as thunder, excuse me. It's not the same sound as thunder, you know, but it has the same weight when you hear that bar, when you hear that ball hit the bar in that moment, and then hit the crossbar. So
it was dead.
Yeah, I apologize for Mark. He likes to invite guests on and traumatize them.
No, I think I feel like Alan needed to talk about this. Okay. I feel like this is a therapy session here right now. Because honestly, Alan, that's every single Bears fan. There was a preseason game last week where Cairo Santos hit the bar, and everybody's tweeting doink, 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 doink. Not double doink, literally, but it was just doink. So there is a certain trauma that has been instilled in Bears fans, and obviously, it's still in you. Dude, I was covering the sidelines for you guys, Alan. So I was down there. It was just like you guys were just frozen. Like nobody really said anything. Because there's you're powerless. You're so powerless over the moment with 64,000 fans jacked up. Everybody thinking the Bears are going to advance onto the second round of the playoffs, and then that happens. It just was so. It was harsh, man.
Definitely. You know, obviously playing my career. Playing, you know, 4 years in Chicago, but, you know, I do feel that myself and the fans, you know, we are a little bit trauma bonded, you know, from from just some of those experience, you know, that one in particular.
Trauma bond. I mean, there's one more question about 2018 or that era. And then we'll move on to the now. We'll talk about the Bears wide receivers with you, more on Ben Johnson. But the last question that I will ask you about is Mitch Trubisky, because you did have unbelievable chemistry with Trubisky. What happened, and do you think he got a fair chance in Chicago?
You know, fair, I would say nothing in the league as far as opportunities are fair, you know, across the board, you know. So that's so tough to say. You know, if you're coming into the NFL and expecting a fair opportunity or fair anything, you know, if you will, then you're doing yourself a disservice. But do I think that he should have gained, you know, enough leash to maybe have another year? I would say so, you know, and I would say I think something that Mitch did very well was Mitch had the communication and Mitch had the chemistry with the players as a group. You know, going into my last year in Chicago, you know, I do think that, you know, Mitch had the room as far as having the connection with Tariq Cohen, having the connection with Anthony Miller and myself and some other guys, you know, David Montgomery.
Yeah.
Cole Kmet, you know, we had the chemistry to whereas, you know, another offseason may have been able for us to improve that much more to be able to, you know, get to the playoffs again and maybe actually make some noise in the playoffs. Because for us, it wasn't that we were trying to become a team that's, you know, trying to get into the playoffs. We were, you know, we made the playoffs two times in those 4 years, 3 years with Mitch, two times in 3 years. So for us, it just was about now making some noise in the playoffs. And I think having another offseason under our belt, you know, I think that would have been more of a possibility, you know, rather than kind of starting over. And it was a lot of moving parts.
Allen Robinson joining us here on the Raheem and Harris Show with Mark Grody and for Layla, the 11-year NFL wide receiver, of course, spending time with the Bears. As Grody so accurately pointed out, from 2018 to 2021, I'm so curious as to your thoughts on the Bears receiver room right now, because I'm just trying to figure out, there's only one football, Allen, who's getting the ball and how much when you talk about all the talent they have in that receiving room right now, plus the tight ends, of course.
You know, the number one thing for that entire offense really this year, a theme will probably be sacrifice. You know, and again, I saw that a lot in Detroit last year with the amount of weapons that we had in Detroit. Obviously, Jameson Williams could have got the ball more. Jahmyr Gibbs could have got the ball more. David Montgomery could have got the ball more. Sam LaPorta could have got the ball more. But when you have those are good problems to have, you know, and I think that Chicago, with some of the weapons that they have, you know, Cole Kmet, you know, drafting a rookie tight end who's very talented, you know, bringing in Luther Burden, who's another talented rookie, but also having Olamide Zaccheaus and DJ Moore, you know, Romo Odunze, you know, having such a deep skill position group, you know, guys can't get frustrated and guys have to keep the main thing, which is being able to win games, because they all will have the opportunities. But there will be instances and matchups and games where somebody may get the short end of the stick when it comes to targets and opportunities. But, you know, you have to stay locked in, because when you're in a situation and you have Ben Johnson as your coach, a guy who's coming in, you know, wanting and hoping to take this team to the next level, you're looking to play, you know, 20 plus games this season. So you have to be ready to mentally be along for the ride, have that mental mental stamina as you go throughout the course of the season. You know, you have to ride the ebbs and flows of, you know, opportunity and always stay ready for yours.
I know there's no way you could have seen the full you know, work put in last year by Caleb Williams in all 17 games, but you did see him close up at least in a couple of games against Detroit. What do you think of Caleb Williams, and can he still be a great quarterback in the NFL?
Definitely. You know, again, for whatever reason, you know, and I think that it's a little bit tough because it's the city of Chicago and they haven't had that, you know, guy come in and have that first year success. When I say first year success, I mean very, very high success, like a Jaden Daniels. But I don't think that people should, you know, be at all down on the rookie season that he had. You know, he has some ebbs and flows, did a lot of good things, you know, did a lot of things that need improvement as well. But when it comes to just being a rookie, you know, having some of the moving parts, obviously him learning some different things. I believe they made a coordinator change. You know, obviously it, you know, they fired a coach and so on and so forth. So, you know, doing different things like that throughout the course of the season is always tough, you know. So with what he had to take on, you know, I don't think that Bears fans should be discouraged at all. You know, again, it's a rookie season. You know, he has to grow. He has to learn. He has to continue to polish his game to figure out, okay, after you go back after a rookie season and evaluate your own film, what were my strengths this year? What were my weaknesses? What are things that I have to totally get rid of? And having a whole course of an offseason to be able to evaluate that, you know, I think should be extremely encouraging for Bears fans, seeing, you know, just what he was able to do last year in a pretty revolving door kind of situation when it came to things that were moving within the organization.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think this quarterback is in the best position that a Bears quarterback has been in a long time to be developed because of the coaching staff, because of the players around him as well. But, Alan, you're obviously very well aware of Bears history and the quarterbacks. I mean, you kind of indicated it in your answer there. Do you have a theory on why quarterback play has just been so good quarterback play has just been so hard to come by in the city of Chicago? Do you have a theory?
I don't have a theory, you know, but to be honest, man, quarterback, sometimes that position is hard for a lot of different cases. You know, as a person who grew up a Detroit fan, you know, my entire childhood, you know, was struggles at the quarterback position and other positions, you know, and now obviously they have Jared Goff as their guy and they've been able to have success over the past few years. But you know, before Matthew Stafford, it was Joey Harrington, John Kitna's, you know what I'm saying? So just to kind of give an example, you know, the same again with Minnesota, you know, they were able to kind of get, you know, Brett Favre at that point in time. But once after Dante Culpepper, you know, you had Brad Johnson, Gus Frerotte, you know, you had a lot of different guys. And, you know, it's not always easy to be able to do that. You know, some teams kind of, you know, find a solid, you know, half a decade or so that when they get a guy to be able to truly compete and contend, you know. But you know, I think the Bears, where they're at right now, you know, is in a very good position. Obviously they have a very high touted quarterback that they drafted a year ago who's now going into his second year. And you know, even and he's a Cali kid, you know, so even as he kind of you know, playing in Cali and coming from USC, yeah, you know, being able to get adjusted to playing in the Midwest and so on and so forth. You know, again, I think it's small tricks of the trade sometime that can take a player to the next level, especially when you're talking about that position.
Alan, I love talking to you. I you know, maybe at some point in time, you and I could just do the full deep dive on 2018 because, you know.
Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to do that. Would love to have you back on the podcast at some point in time. Speaking of podcasts, your podcast, again, Press Release Podcast. Obviously, you guys talk football. I'm guessing you talk NBA on that podcast, too, if I know you like I think I know you.
Yeah, you know, we talk a lot of stuff. You know, we talk a lot of stories. You know, like you just kind of hinted at, I'm a big NBA guy.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm very excited for this season. You know, and for myself, you know, now that, you know, I've had a little bit more time over this offseason, you know, again, I'm a big sports guy in general. You know, I love going to basketball games, baseball games. I'm excited, you know, as we kind of approach September and towards the end of September, I'm excited for October baseball, you know. So, you know, for me, I'm a sports guy. You know, I grew up playing basketball, baseball, and football. So, you know, when it comes to, you know, kind of those big three of sports, you know, I really enjoy them all, and I enjoy to talk about them all as well.
Hey, Rob, what would you pay Josh Giddey to stay a Chicago Bull? He said he's a basketball guy. No, I want that man's thoughts.
He is.
Listen, in NBA, typically the market speaks. You know, I'm curious to see, man, because, again, I mean, he's a younger guy. You know, he came into the league extremely young as well. You know, it just kind of depends on where the Bulls are going and the direction that they're going in. You know, I believe this year will be a year that the Eastern Conference will be pretty wide open. Obviously, you have Jason Tatum coming off an Achilles injury. You have Dame Lillard, who's not in Milwaukee anymore. You have Tyrese Halliburton, who's coming off of an Achilles injury as well. You know, so if it's any time for some of the teams who want to kind of strike or really improve their team or kind of make a run in the East, I think that it would be this year.
The Press Release Podcast.
Bulls won't be doing that this year, I can tell you that.
And Alan,
listen, I mean, hey, man, Detroit, you know, it was a lot of people that didn't think that they would be where they would be at last year, you know, but they had, obviously, Cade, you know, he took a step and so on and so forth. But, you know, I mean, listen, man, like I said before, I think the Eastern Conference is just one of those conferences that, you know, right now, you just kind of, you never know. You have the Knicks and Cavs, who are heavy favorites at the top of the conference this year with some injuries, obviously Milwaukee as well with Giannis. But as far as, you know, the rest of the conference, you know, I think it's pretty wide open, just as far as kind of positioning and kind of where teams can fall throughout the course of the year.
Alan, just great stuff. Loved having you on. And just know this, too. I understand that you're from Detroit. We love Detroit. You played with the Lions last year, which is very cool. I know you played with the Rams. You, sir, will always be a Bear. Do you understand that?
I appreciate that, man. And for myself, man, I always have an extreme and immense amount of love for the city of Chicago. You know, for myself, you know, coming there as a pretty young guy. I think I was 24 years old when I signed there, you know, so I feel like I kind of grew up in Chicago a little bit, you know, and had some of the best years of my career, you know, in Chicago. So I have a ton of love for the city, for the fans, you know, for the Chicago Bears organization.
Alan, thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks,
Alan.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Yep, there goes Alan Robinson.
Keep listening, by the way, for your chance to win a pair of general admission tickets to Riot Fest on Sunday, September 21st, featuring performances by Green Day, Idols, Bad Religion, Inhaler, and more. And you might even see Mark Grody.
Maybe. No, you know, if you look hard, you probably will find me there. Coming up next here on the Raheem and Harris Show, we're going to talk Bears overs and unders on the offense. I am looking forward to this. It is Raheem and Harris with me, Mark Grody, on The Score.